I was at a Promise Keepers event with some other guys, and I wrote. So this time, the word of the Lord came to me with a pen. He said, all right, God has put something on your heart. I want you to get out a pen and write what comes to you. And I got out a pen. I am called to preach. I'm like, no. I don't want to do that. But that's what came out of my pen. I didn't anticipate it. I didn't premeditate it. He's talking, and I just am flowing with him, and I just got it. I'm called to preach. I know that's him. I know the feeling. I know the flow. I know I hear his voice. So I went, this is in the Spokane Arena. I went down on the floor, all the way down underneath the scoreboard, and poured out my heart to the Lord. I surrendered to him. I said, whatever you want. And so that was halfway in between. He spoke to me that we're moving. 2 years later is when I wrote, I'm called to preach. 2 years after that is when we moved. So it doesn't always just happen the next day. It's not always the way you expect. But when it came time to move, he had changed my heart. There's nothing more that I wanted. I knew this is going to be amazing. And he had spoken to me that day when he said, I want you to move back to Holmes County, back to Ohio. He said, you come to the mountains to find peace. And you found it. But I'm taking you to a place where you will find a peace far deeper than anything you'll find here. That's word for word what he said. And as he said it, a rainbow went right over top of where Mount Rainier should be. In this, at where we were at. And I knew that he's going to take me. I've reached the level of peace I can find in the natural, in the mountains. But it's not enough. Not even close. Not even close. So moving back was as much a stretch as moving there, except that we'd gotten a word. And when the Lord gives you a word and you believe it, it's like Abraham. When Abraham took the knife, he believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. When he took the knife to kill his son Isaac, I know we've probably seen, I don't know if you've seen any movies about that or whatever, but he was not struggling. I don't think he was struggling. Oh, no, God, I can't believe you're calling me to do this. What's it say for real? It says he knew that God would raise Isaac from the dead if he killed him. He would receive him back from the dead. And he did, figuratively, in that he never killed him. So he received him back from the dead. Abraham was guaranteed that Isaac would live, even if he killed him. I believe his faith was that strong. That's the only reason he would raise a knife, because he knows that's not the end. Isaac is the son of promise, and I will see God's promise fulfilled. I believe he raised the knife in faith. That's how we take action, in faith. Even if it is against something that we desire. If God gives you a word, believe it. Mix your faith with it, and then take the action. Taking an action, for us, the story then was, specifically for me, where I had received a prophecy about Reinhard Bonnke, that there's something that Reinhard Bonnke has for me. And I'm like, Lord, what do you guys know who that is? He preached in Africa for 50 years. 75 million people came to the Lord through his ministry, Christ for All Nations. And I didn't know much about him. I did some research on it after this word about him, and like, wow, And I saw that he was like all over the world, but he was in Singapore and then Orlando and then Indonesia and then, you know, wherever. And it's like, he's going to be in Orlando. And when I saw that, the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, I want you to go pray with Reinhard. Okay. Like, that's possible. Like, what do you mean? Didn't get any other word, no explanation. That's what he said. I want you to go pray with Reinhard. And so I was telling a friend of mine, and he said, well, what are you doing in Ohio? Like, He's in Orlando and you're in Ohio. How are you going to actually do what God said? And he said, I'm sending you a link. Sends me a link for a plane ticket. He said, you fly in an hour, buy the ticket. Okay. So I went to buy the ticket and it wasn't available to me. I'm more than an hour from Cleveland and I fly in an hour. And I even told him that. He goes, don't worry. I've done that already and it's worked. He's like left with less time to get to the airport. And by the time he got there, he had enough time. He got on the plane and he flew. So he wasn't even like worried about it. I bought the ticket. I went to look at the ticket and the Lord said, buy it for tomorrow. So I bought the ticket for the next day. And then I went and told my wife, I'm going to Orlando tomorrow. And she's like, what? Like, what? What's this about? So, well, it was almost, you know, I had to explain why I just spent $400 on something. And she's like, what are you doing? I said, the Lord wants me to go pray with Reinhardt. She's like, okay. Like, this isn't her first rodeo. So I flew, got down there. I didn't plan ahead. I didn't set this up ahead of time. I didn't know what to do. I just flew there, got a rental car, and looked up the address for Christ for All Nations and drove to the headquarters. Walked in. I don't know what I'm looking at. I'm like, okay, Lord, where do I go? There's a welcome desk. I walked over to the welcome desk. And the lady's like, hey, you know, hi, can I help you? And I explained to her. I feel like God put it on my heart. I'm supposed to come here and I'm supposed to pray with Reinhardt. And she kind of goes, yeah, you can't just do that. But he's a very busy guy and everything's scheduled and like, it's not possible. And as we're talking, so the timing here is so amazing. I didn't plan ahead to make this work. I'm just in the flow of it. As we're talking, another lady comes walking around the corner and she goes, well, there's, I don't remember her name. Sharon is who I called her, but I don't know if that was her name. There's Sharon. She never comes out here. She's actually in charge of this whole event. Like if there's anybody you should talk to, it's her. She motions her over. And she explains this whole story to her. And Sharon, I can tell, she's praying in the spirit. She's like, what do I do with this guy, Lord? Like, she didn't, I was an interruption in her day. She didn't plan on me being there. And then she says, well, you can't just come into, this is actually a studio recording of the fire conference. And people have paid $2,500 to be here. And it's small. We can only fit 150 people in. It's not like there's just room that you could come in. So I can't let you. And I'm like, well, I'm here. And she goes, the only thing I can say, I guess, is doors open at 7. Doors open at 7. So at 5 o'clock. So anyway, I left there, went and got a hotel. Because I'm like, well, I'm going to have to stay the night here. Lay down for a couple hours. Came back at 5 o'clock. And if that's the door, I stood right in front of the door. At 5 o'clock. And a little bit later, she's like walking through. This looks way early. She's like, you're here. I said, I have no other place to be. This is where I'm at. And I stood. I didn't sit. I'm like, I know I'm anticipating what God's going to do. I'm going to be here. So I stood in front of the door in line. A line forms behind me. And a few minutes, actually right at 7, she comes from the inside, opens the door, and she goes, those of you with lanyards can make your way on in. And the people behind me all had lanyards. And so I just stepped aside. People all walked in and the door shut. I stood back in line. I'm just, the Lord's going to do this. He didn't fly me all the way down there for nothing. Now, I can't see how it's going to happen yet, but anyway, so I stood there a couple minutes before. So the session was starting at 7:30. Just a couple minutes before, the door opens, and she goes, I believe I will. She opens the door, lets me in. She goes, I was hoping to find a place for you to stand. This is a studio. She goes, somebody's not here. I don't know who's not here, but there's a seat. And we're ready to start. So we're going to close the doors. It's studio, so we're locking the doors. You're welcome to have that seat if you want. And it was a good seat, right down close. So I went, took my seat that the Lord had prepared for me. And I got to listen to Reinhardt preach his last fire conference. I didn't know it was his last. I didn't know he was going to pass away. I didn't know any of that stuff. But I got to be at his last fire conference in the States. Pretty amazing. Preached for a while. Daniel preached. And then Reinhardt says, now those of you who've come to receive an anointing. So he had this German accent. And he said, if you came for something from Reinhardt, you came for the wrong reason. But I will pray with you. I will lay my hands on you. And Jesus will anoint you, not Reinhardt. And so he said, those of you who want to receive prayer, want to have prayer with me, follow me. I believe I will. Walked out of the room and I just got in line and followed and went to this other room. And anyway, I found myself standing in front of Reinhardt. He laid his hands on me, prayed for me, and I had this encounter with the Lord. It felt like somebody literally just poured warm oil all the way over me. And I went to step forward, and I had told the Lord, I want everything you have for me. I'm just not a showy person. Like, I'm athletic. You're not going to push me over. I don't need to fall down to make an encounter happen. I'm okay. And so he prayed for me. I'm experiencing this, and I went to step forward, and my feet just didn't work. And my arms didn't work either. I just fell like a tree. I had a nose planted if they wouldn't have caught me, because I wasn't even, nothing was working. And they pulled me off to the side and they're like, you all right? And I'm like, yeah, I'm good. And anyway, that night I had an encounter with the Lord, a very powerful encounter where he did a work in my heart. And all of that was subject to me hearing the word, mixing it with faith, and taking action. Those are the components to hearing God's voice. If you're not willing to go all the way with it, you will not experience him. But when you are willing, he will validate his word. He watches over his word to perform it. He wants you to experience him. And when you do, you put him on display to other people, to encourage other people, to change other people's lives. So that's my Reinhardt story and going after the blessing. I felt like Elisha going after Elijah. And the Lord told me, he said, you now carry a portion of the mantle that Reinhardt carried. And the only way is a physical laying on of hands. You couldn't receive it over the phone. You wouldn't be able to pray with Reinhardt some other way. This had to be a physical in-person thing. So I got back, and the next day I was talking to my brother. He had no idea I had gone to Florida. I hadn't told anybody. I just went and flew back the next day. And he said, have I ever told you what the Lord's been showing me about physically laying on of hands? He's like, to receive an actual anointing, you have to be in person. You have to actually, there has to be a physical laying on of hands. I said, do you know where I was yesterday? He's like, no. I said, I was just in Florida receiving a laying on of hands for an anointing. He's like, okay, all right. So I guess this word's for you. So the Lord confirmed it through a third party confirmation. My brother had no idea. And he brought that to me because I believe the Lord put it on his heart to tell me. He was just telling me something that was on his heart. He didn't even know he was delivering a word from the Lord. But he was. That was a confirmation that what I had received was very specific. It had to come in that way. So if you're willing and you listen and you watch for indicators, you'll see where the Lord, he'll give you something that's just, it's a flutter in your heart. It's not really that tangible. But the knowing and the rest and the peace and the love that comes with it you have to almost dismiss all of that to not believe it. If you're willing to just believe what he's put in your heart, mix your faith with it, just get rid of the logical side and just allow your heart, allow the Lord to lead you by the heart and show you and instruct you that way. Okay. Sometimes the word that he gives you will, like that, it required me to take an immediate action. Sometimes, like moving to Washington took a whole year. Moving back to Ohio took 4 years for his word to be accomplished. Sometimes he'll even ask you to take an action without any confirmation that it's going to work out. So when we were adopting our son Micah from Ethiopia, we'd gone through the process and had all the paperwork done, except we needed a specific approval. We actually took two trips, but we needed approval from the U.S. to bring our new son back into the country. And we were waiting on this paper. We were waiting on this. It was an email we were supposed to receive that would give us authorization to bring him back. And we already had four other kids, so it's not like we could just go live in Ethiopia until the time was right. And we waited for months. And finally, it's like we were praying about it. And the one day, my wife was like, she said, I feel like we're supposed to just go. And I'm thinking, you're just trying to get stuff happening. Like, you ran out of patience and you want to just go make it happen. And the Lord said, no, it's time to go. Well, I think you're right. Which means we got to spend $3,000 on tickets or whatever it was for a couple tickets. We need to commit. And we're buying round-trip tickets. So we're flying over and we're flying back. And we have no confirmation we can bring our son with us. And these tickets are 10 days in between. We're not like staying for 2 months. Okay, Lord, we'll do it. We'll buy the tickets. Bought the tickets. Told our social worker, we're going to get them. She's like, you might fly home without them. Like, I can't tell you this is a good idea. It's okay. Like, we're thinking, we're not listening to you anyway. And on the flight over, our contact in Ethiopia got an email, and our social worker got an email that we had our paper. We were halfway over the Atlantic, and we received the authorization to bring him back. Now, the question that I have is, would that authorization have come if we would not have gotten on a plane? What was it waiting on? Was it waiting on our faith, on our action, on our faith with works, not being dead? If we'd have just waited another day, would it have come in? I don't believe it would have. I think it would have waited longer. The timing of it had to be when it was, but our action, it was by our faith that it materialized. Now, this also happened when, so I know I'm jumping around with a bunch of stories here. This is part of where I got too many stories. But it makes, like when I think about it this way, I'm like, this makes sense. I really want you to understand this, that this is for you individually. Hear him on it. When he gives you a word, when something doesn't make sense, what do you got to lose to obey his word? Just getting it wrong, is that it? That's like no big deal. This, so what? Get it wrong and do it again. Try again. Learn that failure is still progress. Have you heard failing forward? The idea of failing forward, have you heard of that? If this is a guy walking, a person walking. And we think of failure as it's a setback. Like you fell backwards and you had to pick yourself back up over here and start again. Failure. Failure. That's how we tend to think. But failure, if your heart posture is correct, failure is your fastest acceleration forward. That makes sense? When you are willing to accept that failure is, it's hard. Yeah, you learn by your face because you fell on your face, but falling on your face also produces humility. I guess that's another thing. You learn and you just accelerate and grow and you stand up here. Failure is not a problem. Learn that failure is part of the process. When you're willing to fail, you'll grow and you'll be willing to face your fears, face the risk. The reality is your fears will not be as real as you think they are. More often than not, it will actually work. Instead of, oh, the fear and that's going to happen. More often than not, you'll go, oh, it didn't happen. This actually worked. I'm not saying just to go off on your own and try stuff without a word from the Lord. This is all about a relationship with Him. Let Him call the shots, direct your path. The heart of a man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. Proverbs 16:9. If you're willing, and you want to plan, and we all come up with plans in our lives, and we want to do stuff, we want to see things happen. But if you're willing to let the Lord direct your steps, you will hear a voice behind you saying, turn to the left or turn to the right. This is the way. Walk in it. You'll hear Him speak to you because He is always speaking. He's communicating to you whether you hear Him or not. Don't be condemned if you haven't heard Him. This, again, is part of the learning process of recognizing that the more you hear and act, the more you are able to hear because it makes it more clear to you that the veil is lifted, your ears are open to hear Him. Jesus said over and over, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And He was not talking about physical ears, because I guarantee you they all had physical ears. Well, I would think so. Hopefully, if not, He can bring them, heal them. But he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Like, open your heart to be able to hear Him. This is greatly increased when you spend time in worship, spend time praying in the Spirit, asking Him to open your ears, asking to be able to hear His voice, and then telling Him, give me a word. Let me try it. See, there's a little bit of a, I don't even want to ask God because I don't want to mess it up, or that. Part of this is you ask Him. Do a Holy Spirit treasure hunt. Go in the store and say, Lord, is there something, a word you have for me here? Ask Him for a word. Get up when you get up in the morning, say, Lord, do you have a word for me today? See, what we think of as scary risk ends up not only not being scary, but being the actual reason and purpose to live. And that is to walk in step with Him. People will go their whole life looking for purpose. Like, they'll have a midlife crisis and they go, is this all there is? Like, I've been doing all the right things and I'm empty and my wife doesn't love me anymore, and I'm, you know, whatever you want to say. The midlife crisis comes from people who have not been willing to follow the voice of God. They've been afraid, not only afraid to act, but sometimes, many times, afraid to even ask. So get over it. Don't be afraid to ask. He's good. Yeah, He seems risky. But that's only because you don't trust Him. The more you trust Him, the less risky He is, and the more safe and secure, and the more of a strong tower He becomes. When he is your strong tower, you'll jump off a cliff for him, with him. When he is your strong tower, you'll do anything he says. Let him become that strong tower. But it comes through growth, not just it's not a one-time event. It is a lifetime, a lifestyle. What I'm asking for you to do is allow your lifestyle to become that. This is why it's my favorite topic. Again, I got a lot of favorite topics, but it's, if you can hear him, you can do anything. If you're willing to mix your faith with it and take the action. There are times where I don't think I have time for another story. There are times where he will interrupt you when you're in motion to do something. And this is where, if you recognize the heart of love, the message coming with love or with fear, because the devil will also try to stop you. And the devil will try to redirect you. So this is my, I think I'll leave you with this. This is a caution, actually, from just looking for a sign. Because this is a tendency. We tend to go, okay, God, I'm thinking that you want me to, let's just say, you know, go to the gas station and pray with somebody. If that's the case, then sometime between now and the end of the day, make a red car drive past on the road. Do you think the devil can make a red car drive past on the road? Guarantee you. He's got people who will do what he says because they don't know they're following him. They just, the devil can try to control circumstances if all you're looking for is a sign. That's why Jesus said, if you just seek a sign, you're an adulterous generation, wicked and adulterous generation. If all you seek is something physical to confirm what you want to see, even if you've heard God, don't worry about the physical signs. Listen to the message in the heart, in your heart. Sense whether there's love in there, whether you have that confirmation of his love. Don't just go after a sign. That's carnal. That's setting your minds on the things of the flesh, the natural things. When you set your mind on the things of the Spirit, he will lead you by the Spirit.